powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
I'm back. Did you guys miss me?
Oh, no? So much.
Where are you?
She's back. She's back, ladies and gentlemen.
You know what made me so mad on Monday? I tuned in for a little bit, and I could tell you guys were having so much fun. I was livid. I was a word that is more severe than livid. I was distraught.
Stacy's fear of missing out on literally anything
bamboozled
is it cripples her.
It does, and I couldn't. I had to turn it off. I'd had enough. That's what actually made me sick, was hearing that. That I had enough.
And then you had to watch the Seahawks game Monday night.
I know,
that made you even more sick.
And then I felt even worse. It was just awful. It was just awful. But also a lot of news while I was gone. You had apparently Robbie Ray, now a Seattle Mariner.
Yeah, what are you making
of that? Turns out that happened. That's really exciting. I'm psyched. I did not think that he was a name they'd go after. I was looking at, obviously, the big class of infielders, thinking like, oh, maybe they go for Marcus Semien. Let's hope that happens. And all those, like, the top arms I had kind of written off as, like, oh, Seattle isn't going to be able to do both. Now we're looking at maybe adding an infielder, maybe adding Story, and you get Robbie Ray. That's a huge, huge offseason. Now we're going to see whether or not that happens because, as we know, today is when that CBA expires. Not expected to get a new deal going. So it's going to be a make-or-break moment for the Seattle Mariners. You still have, whenever the new CBA is struck and you re-enter into negotiations, plenty of time, months and months and months, presumably, following the start of the new year. Let's say they get it done mid-February. I know it would be when pitchers and catchers report, and I know you're going to be looking at the start of spring training, but every team's going to be in the same boat. Every team's going to be looking to add talent. There's going to be plenty of guys still on the market. In the meantime, the Mariners and every other team presumably going to be in limbo. That doesn't take away from how important this offseason is for Seattle, though. So you've got one important step done. You added a big name. Like, think of where this franchise would be if they didn't add that big name, if they hadn't added Robbie Ray, even if they didn't add Frazier, if they were just sitting there looking at, like, well, what do we do?
Oh,
Mariners fans would be livid, and they'd be livid knowing that, like, were this any other offseason, there'd be plenty of time to get something done. But it's that lockout.
It is.
And putting a pause in everything and leaving you in limbo that leaves you feeling frustrated about what this team is going to do in its most important offseason. And, oh, it doesn't help that the Rangers went up and got two of those premier shortstops. Obviously, Semien going to presumably be at second. But, yeah, Rangers in your own division go and spend a ton of money.
Well, and that is an example of, Stacy, why that the Mariners, they have to maximize today. They have to be able to take advantage of what is promised to them now rather than what they think will be promised to them or potentially be there down the road. And the reason why I say that is if you wait, okay, and you're not able to get a deal done, and right now the conversation has been, that conversation has heated up with Trevor Story and Chris Bryant. Both of those two names have been linked to the Mariners in the past 24 hours, and especially last night. And if they don't go and get one of those two guys, Stacy, the conversation with the CBA talks and negotiations is that there's a very strong likelihood and chance that in the CBA, teams will be forced to have a cap floor, that they will have to be spending around $100 million in payroll, or they will be fined if they are not, meaning that everyone needs to pay players. Everyone needs to try and remain competitive. No tanking your rosters. That's what Major League Baseball would try to avoid. So you know what would end up happening is the competition that you have right now with teams like the Rangers and maybe some others out there. Well, guess what? That list increases dramatically. And now you have teams all over the place that are going to have to spend money, that are willing to spend crazy money, and it inflates your market and makes it even hotter than what it is right now. So that is something that I currently worry about.
Yeah, I've gone back and forth with worrying. I don't want to be a hypocrite, but I keep being a total hypocrite. And part of me says, wait and judge the offseason. It's a hugely important offseason, but, like, let's not overreact. Let's not panic. Let's wait and see what gets done, right? Taking that, like, Shannon Dreyer approach of being very pragmatic and calm and rational. And then another part of me gets very antsy and says, you know, in your first moment to do something, you want to do more than this. You have to do more than this. And so, you know, good thing is there's still time to get stuff done today. But don't take my word for it. Don't take Jake's word for it. Jerry DePoto was on with Mike Salk earlier today talking about, first of all, what's next to add in free agency.
You know, we want to add the one more bat and minimally one more bat. We think there's potentially room for two. But, you know, it depends on where that bat lies. And now we have the flexibility of focusing on the offensive impact, wherever that might land. And that's what the Adam Frazier acquisition really does for us. We would like to continue to add depth to the starting rotation. If there's an opportunity to add that one more arm there, that would be great. So we still, and whether that be, you know, via free agency or trade, we're open to all avenues. But those are the things we'd still like to get done.
Now, as far as things they'd still like to get done, we know that that CBA expires at 11:59, at midnight. And don't rule out something getting done today. Maybe. Maybe. I'll tell you about the reports, but here's what DePoto said.
Oh, no, we can absolutely do deals. And that we're still approaching this as if, you know, today is another business day. And, you know, we've got our hands in a couple of different trade talks, and we're still engaged with a few free agents. And, you know, I can't say one way or the other whether we will get anything done, but I also wouldn't say it's impossible.
From Buster Olney of ESPN, he says last night there were rumblings among agents that the Mariners were working on a third base signing. This is last night, by the way. The best available left side infielders are Correa, Story, and Bryant. We know Correa's likely off the table, everyone expecting him to go to New York, but Story and Bryant have both been linked to the Mariners. I don't know if they'll get one. If they got both, that would be phenomenal. But what's weird is, you guys, I swear we saw that report from Jeff Passan saying that in particular Chris Bryant would want to wait until after the CBA lockout and negotiations had ended before signing. Do we think there's any chance that changes? That
I mean, look at the money that's been thrown around.
I was going to say.
I think that would influence a guy's decision on where to sign.
Yes.
Desperate times call for desperate measures.
Come on, Max Scherzer got paid stupid money.
Yeah, he's making $43 million per season.
I mean, what? Are you kidding me? And he's going to be in his 40s with that deal. I mean, here's the thing. If money talks, first and foremost. But the other thing is deadlines get deals done. And if you're just talking big picture here for a second, get into my thought about Chris Bryant here. But if you talk about Major League Baseball and the lack of fun that it has and energy and excitement, well, if I'm Major League Baseball and I'm looking at this whole thing, maybe actually having a free agency period might be the best thing for Major League
Last
Baseball.
Last couple days have been pretty fun watching.
They
all
have
this.
Been awesome.
I really liked it.
They
Let
have
me
been
tell you
so
what, in my
fun.
NyQuil haze, there was a moment, you guys, there was a moment.
When you were under the influence, when you saw Robbie Ray sign with the Mariners, you're like, I don't know if I can believe this. Stacey's like, dude,
that's awesome.
You know when you wake up and you're not sure if something was a dream or something was real? Like, you had a dream maybe that you text a friend, you look at your phone, and you're like, oh, I didn't text anyone. Why did that feel so real? That's how I felt about the Robbie Ray signing. Like, I was in and out of it all day Monday, and then I woke up and I was like, did that happen? I'm not sure. I need to check my phone again. I'm not sure if that really happened. That might have been a NyQuil haze.
But I do believe that it would be the best thing for Major League Baseball to seriously look into it and add some of that excitement and some of that intrigue into the offseason for Major League Baseball and for the casual fan. But in terms of Chris Bryant, if it's the right deal and you know that the Mariners are, you know, let's just say in the top three of the organizations and the teams that you really want to go to, and the Mariners and Jerry DePoto are being extra aggressive about trying to get this done and wrapped up. Trevor Story, same thing for that matter. I don't believe it really has anything to do with other than the fact, are you maximizing the potential money that you could be making by waiting? But if the money's right, and you're good and happy with the deal now, I don't see any reason to wait or prolong that for Trevor Story and Chris Bryant if it is truly an organization that they are interested in and would want to come to, rather than, here's the other part, maybe the money is good, maybe the money is in a spot where they would be fine with it, but they're like, the Mariners aren't really the team that I would like to go to, so I'm gonna still wait this out and see if the money either goes up from the Mariners or another situation that I am more intrigued in pops up after the lockout ends. So we don't know the minds of Chris Bryant and Trevor Story, but those two possibilities I think are very real.
As far as the money, surprisingly, I don't know that I like fully expected this to be the case. It sounds like the Mariners are not afraid of spending so much as they are hesitant to give longer-term deals. It seems like that was certainly the issue with that 7-year deal the Rangers eventually gave Simeon. The Mariners maybe weren't willing to go over 5. And as far as spending money, it seems like they wouldn't shy away from doing that. They'd rather offer more money than give a longer-term deal. So maybe that does entice a player, you know, like Bryant or like Story, maybe more so like Bryant, that might look at that and say, you know what, I'll take more per year. I'll take more money rather than having that long-term deal and either hit free agency again or just know that I got the biggest bite at the apple with that one.
Right.
Is there, before I jump in, there's more Jerry Dipoto had to say, and I want to get to it. We've got a couple more minutes left here before we get to headlines. Is there a preference that either of you have between Story or Bryant? Let's say they don't get both. I'm assuming they don't.
I know Howdy loves Bryant. My preference would be Bryant, but I would be very happy with Trevor Story. And the reason I would be very happy with Trevor Story, I know there's the concerns that you have about, you know, Coors Field and are you a Colorado Rockies, you know, just a byproduct of playing in Colorado. But I do look at Trevor Story talent-wise. I think he's a bona fide talent. And I think that Nolan Arenado is somebody that also kind of disproved that, that had the same kind of questions about him. And his batting average wasn't necessarily stellar, but his power's there. Everything that you want is there. And I think that Trevor Story can absolutely deliver on that side of it. So I don't think that you're going to be worse off with you're not signing either player.
All right, let's go back to what Jerry Dipoto had to say. Let's talk about what the last couple of weeks have been for them.
You know, from picking up Adam Frazier to obviously now signing Robbie Ray, we did a fun extension with Andrés Muñoz. It's been a very active couple of weeks here, and in between a ton of flights and Zooms and meetings with various free agents, and it's really interesting to get to know people you didn't know very well before. So it's been a great couple of weeks.
That extension with Munoz, by the way, a 4-year deal worth at least $7.5 million. That deal was announced earlier today. Curtis, you liken that to kind of like the Evan White kind of get something.
Yeah, they bought out
himself.
His arbitration years, right. So right. Munoz will be making a little bit more money than he would had they gone to arbitration. And, I mean, look, he's cemented himself as a part of this bullpen going forward. And there's been he was basically the centerpiece of that Ty France trade made in the 2020 season. So we're going to see a lot more of him next year. And that bullpen shaping up to be very nice. They bring back Casey Sadler, too, who mm-hmm. agreed to a 1-year deal.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how the Mariners approach arbitration, because they have, what, 9 more guys that are eligible for arbitration and some very notable names, J.P. Crawford being one of those names as well. So you love how this thing is building. You love how it's going in the right direction. And guys, can I tell you one thing last night that as I was sitting at home and we got the official signing from Robbie Ray, the quote in there that he said got me fired up.
No, wait a minute. Was this what Robbie Ray told Mike Salk this morning?
No. This was in the press release last night.
Okay.
And it says, I can't wait to get started here in Seattle. I'm here to win. There's something special going on here with the team coming off a 90-win season, and I'm excited to be a part of it. I've already had a chance to speak with some of the guys, and we all want to be a part of the team that brings a championship to this city. Seeing the stadium packed at the end of the season last year and the support of this fan base, I could not be more excited to be a Seattle Mariner. That, to me, is special. Not from somebody that's in your own organization. Not from somebody that just re-signed with your team and you that knows this city and knows this organization. This is an outsider. This is the current AL Cy Young winner that saw what the Mariners did this last offseason this past season and said, I want to be a part of this. That I want to use some of my prime years to be able to deliver winning baseball here to Seattle and potentially a championship, and that is the goal. That is what I'm talking about.
You want to know what I loved hearing from Robbie Ray?
What's that?
I'll tell you guys at 10:45
right now.
Let's get to headline rewrites.
True, bro.
Extra, read all about it.
Headline rewrites.
presented by Tila Mortgage.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Jake and Stacey.
Come on, Curtis.
Headline number one, former Husky and now former Fresno State quarterback Jake Haener has reportedly transferred back to Washington. What's the real headline?
This just in across my news desk, some breaking news. Our very own Jake Heaps reportedly trying to re-enroll in college to take back his record for most transfers.
Wow.
Jake, any comment?
Hey, Stacy, you want to go back home?
Yeah.
You sure you don't want to take some more days off? You're looking kind of sick over there.
Jake, I can't. Think of the clout, Jake. Think of
the
clout.
Do it for the show.
Do it for the show. Do it for the show. My favorite thing is how often. First of all, you and Curtis make fun of me regularly. You guys make fun of me on the regular. But then every time Curtis and I make fun of you, we always go, Jake, do it for the show. The show,
do
Jake.
For the show.
Do it for the show.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Now, what do you actually think about this news? What's it mean for Sam?
Oh, what do
Jake?
I think about this? Instead of, you know, being hurt and taking shots.
Come on.
Okay. All right.
He's getting flamed out of here.
Jeez. Curtis would never do this to me.
No.
Even though I wrote that. Curtis?
No, I refuse to believe that. Curtis would never do that to me. Stacy would. It's all Stacy. This is very interesting. Very, very interesting. And I don't necessarily say that in a good way. Because the thing is that you've got two quarterbacks, Dylan Morris, Sam Heward, that are there right now. Obviously, you point to Sam Heward as the one that this team is looking at for the future. And are you really, Kalen DeBoer, going to entertain the idea of bringing Jake Haener here for 1 year, for one season, if that means Sam Heward is going to transfer? And I'm not saying that that is going to be the case. Maybe Sam stays. Maybe... he looks at the situation and another year learning in the offense and learning behind Jake Haener and watching him do it. And obviously he's a vet in the system now. Maybe that would be some benefit to him. But what if he doesn't see it that way and he leaves the program? One, it would put you in a really tough spot in terms of depth at the quarterback position already at Washington. And two, I would take 4 years of Sam Heward over 1 year of Jake Haener. Sorry. That's just not even a question to me. So, Kalen DeBoer is supposed to be this quarterback developer, supposed to be this offensive guy, and, you know, working with the talent that you have, pretty good talent, that can be even better, I think is the best way to go. But also at the same time, I don't necessarily knock Kalen DeBoer and saying, look, I want to make a positive statement my first year at UW. I want to make the statement as to who we are and what we can do, and bring in Jake Haener might be the best way to do that. So, man, I mean, already some drama on Montlake.
Jake catching strays.
Headline rewrites.
It's tough out in these streets for Jake.
Oh, man. For Jake's.
There was another headline that we shelved.
That one was tabled. But
that was
go ahead and say that one.
Jake Heaps is now the only person named Jake in Washington State history that has never thrown a pass for the Huskies.
We also had... this one was my third favorite because I like that one, too. We also had... yet another Jake, something like keeping the tradition alive of Jake's under center for Washington, despite the best efforts to stop that by Jake Heaps.
Yeah. I will never throw a pass for the Huskies.
Okay.
Headline number two, Major League Baseball and the Players Union reportedly not closer to agreeing on a new CBA, making a lockout after Wednesday night very likely. What is the real headline?
No joke here, just honesty. The Mariners front office collectively says prayer after getting deal done before today's deadline. Can you imagine if there was no Robbie Ray signing, no Adam Frazier trade. Can you imagine?
No, Stacey, I couldn't because I would be enraged. I think the city would be enraged and incredibly disappointed. And that's not to say that there won't be opportunities in deals that are made after the lockout happens. Clearly, that will be the case. But the unknown is not footing that you want to be on. And I think that with this team making this move with Robbie Ray, it settles everything down. It gives a clearer perspective and picture as to what can be done and what can happen and obviously where now the Mariners can put their focus on. And that's what Jerry DePoto said. Look, they would love to add another arm in the starting rotation. That'd be great. But right now, number one priority is you got to add impact to your lineup. You got to add an impact bat or two to really help these Mariners extend what they've been able to do, build off of what they were able to create in this 2021 season. And there's no doubt that they'll be working hard to potentially get a deal done, make something happen before the lockout happens, and we'll see if they can do it.
Headline rewrite.
Headline number three, Georgia, Michigan, Alabama, and Cincinnati make up this week's college football playoff top four. What's the real headline?
It's a feel-good story just in time for the holidays. Cincinnati could become the first group of five school to make it to the college football playoff and lose 42-12 to Georgia.
They'd be the first to ever do that.
Oh, man, the first. You love it. You love to see it.
History.
Happy holidays.
Yeah. You could.
I'm getting really good.
I mean,
at my,
Georgia's
Liza Minnelli voice while I'm sick.
Georgia is.
Happy holidays, Jake.
Oh yeah,
I'll stop.
I forgot how much.
Did
I miss
we need
Stacey.
The Liza Minnelli voice?
Me.
No. The answer is no, Curtis.
Well, not only are they going to get blown out by Georgia,
absolutely.
They're probably going to lose their head coach in one of these coaching carousel moves.
I say
here.
That, but I do love that Cincinnati's in here because they were great. Were we having this conversation last year? That Cincinnati should be. Yeah,
they've been,
it's the same story over and over and over where you understand why they are out of it, but you still love to see them included in it right now. Hopefully they can
you
finish
do.
Out strong. I would love to see them be in the playoff, even if they will lose to Georgia. I would still love to see
But you would love to see them make a close game out of it, right? Like, that's the thing that you want, is you want to see them make a game out of it, and it would be a very difficult task because Georgia is the best team in college football right now. It's not even close. I mean, they are so unbelievably dominant. Their defensive line is something out of a video game. Just a bunch of created players. It's insane. But I think the job that Luke Fickell has done has been absolutely incredible at Cincinnati, turning them into a consistent team year in and year out. And really, if I'm picking anybody for the Notre Dame job, it's him. And I think that is also maybe the sad potential reality is that this is going to be the last hurrah for Cincinnati and Fickell, because once he leaves, Cincinnati's not going to be that program anymore.
Did you guys see that tweeted photo going around of Brian Kelly? I've been keeping this under wraps for 8 years. That's coming up in timeline. I'll tell you what that is if you missed it. I had tears in my eyes. I was laughing so hard. Laugh coughing. All right. Now, I mentioned Robbie Ray saying something to Mike Salk this morning. It was one of the best things I've heard. I think it should make Mariners fans very excited about this team. I will tell you that at 10:45. Before then, we've got to get to the Kraken, who have been on a phenomenal run lately. 710 Kraken insider Andy I joining us next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
All right, time to talk a little bit of Seattle Kraken here with Kraken insider for 710sports.com, Andy Ide. Hey, Andy, what's up?
How's it going? Not too bad.
Well, I mean, not too bad for the Seattle Kraken. I hadn't written them off. Don't get me wrong, but I do think I had dramatically altered my perspective of where the season would be going, and I had gone more toward, hey, this looks like a traditional expansion team rather than a Vegas expansion team. However, I do not think that they have, you know, suddenly looked more like Vegas, but they have looked a lot better. What's been going right for them in this streak of wins?
Well, I think the obvious thing is that they started to get goaltending, and it started with Philip Grubauer. You know, in that game against the Washington Capitals last week, and then he followed it up with another great game against the Carolina Hurricanes. He looked more like himself. I mean, he was stopping shots. He was making the big saves. There were a couple of breakaways that could have changed momentum. He got those, and it just kind of snowballed from there. And the team around him, I think they played a little tighter game. The defense, you know, blocked some more shots, and it really kind of collapsed around them to give them some support. And that's something we haven't really seen as much beforehand.
You know, Andy, one of the other things that I've been curious about is, okay, so things have not gone well, and I think Dave Haxtell was, you know, obviously getting pointed at in a little bit and saying, all right, well, this is interesting, and how do you rally the troops together, and how do you come back from this? And, you know, on this in this stretch here, what have you seen from Haxtell himself?
Well, you know, I think he's been consistent. He keeps it pretty even keel. You rarely see him, you know, extremely happy or extremely upset. You know, after that game against Colorado where they lost 7-3, you saw a little bit of frustration kind of peeking out at his post-game press conference. But he's been very consistent. the consistent in his message with the team. You know, he was saying, look, we're not playing terribly. We're just not getting the results. And I think he was right. I think they were doing a lot of right things. They just were finding ways to lose, as they kept saying. And I think they showed that if they just keep playing that way and maybe tighten a few screws here and there, that they can compete with the best teams in the league. And they just beat three of them in a 4-game stretch. So, I think when you don't want to panic as a coach. So I think that was a strength of his, that he just kind of kept an even keel. And I think the team responds to that.
Seattle placed Chris Drieger and Callie Yarncroke, a.k.a. the boy Callie, on IR. What's the latest with those two?
Yeah, well, and they're not alone now, because we just learned that tonight in Detroit, they're going to be without Jaden Schwartz, Will Borgen, and Jordan Eberle are all out.
Sweet.
So they're a little bit of a beat-up team right now. Schwartz and Eberle, we don't know if they're going on the injured reserve yet. Drieger apparently hurt himself in Buffalo, although we never saw that during the game. He finished the game and played pretty well. That's a big loss. So they've called Joey DeCord up from Charlotte and Cole Lind up from Charlotte. But you really, Drieger was just like Grubauer, was rounding into his form. And boy, having both of those guys playing well and healthy gives you a really strong goalie tandem. You don't really have a bad night off. So that's a bit of a blow. They're going to have to lean on Grubauer a little bit more now until Drieger can come back and be healthy.
Andy, with all these injuries that are happening, do you think that this is going to put them in a bad spot in any situation? And if so, then what way?
Well, it depends on how long Schwartz and Eberle are out. Those are two of their top line forwards, and Eberle is their leading goal scorer. So that's obviously a big blow to the offense. If they're going to be out for any kind of prolonged amount of time, that is definitely a blow to their attack. It'll cause their lines to be all juggled. They were just starting to find some consistency in their lineup, and now they're going to have to put the lines in a blender, as they say, and try to find some people to step up and fill in the void. But that's a pretty big void when your two of your better offensive players are going to be out.
We're now a pretty healthy pace into the season. Has your perspective of who this team is changed at all?
It's hard to say. Like, I always just wanted them to be – my expectation was that they'd be competitive, and I think they are playing competitive hockey. That losing streak, like you said, did kind of shake everything. And you looked at their schedule, and you really thought – I thought they were going to lose 10 in a row when you look at who they had after the 6 losses. The next 4 games were among the best teams in the league, and I thought, boy, they're looking at a 10-game losing streak. So I was impressed that they were able to step up and play against those guys, and it showed that, you know, if they play their game right, they play the system right, and they get the goaltending that they thought they would have, that they can be competitive with the top teams in the league. So going forward, the schedule will even out a little bit. It won't be so top-heavy, although they do have a tough game coming up at home against Edmonton. So I think, you know, as long as those guys can get healthy,
right,
I think you're going to see a team that's going to be, you know, competitive night in, night out. Now, they did dig themselves a hole, so it's going to take some work to get back into maybe a playoff contention or a playoff race. But they've got 60 games to do that, so there's no reason to give up hope. But, you know, if everything goes right with the health, I think you're going to see a team that's going to be in the mix somehow.
That game against Edmonton coming up on Friday the 3rd. Before we get to that, I know we touched on it, but I want to get back to it. Tell us a bit about how the Kraken match up against the Red Wings for today's game.
Yeah, the Red Wings are an interesting team. They're one that's been bad for a few years. So they hired a new general manager, their former star player, Steve Yzerman, who was the architect of Tampa Bay. What they've done, you see how successful they've been. So Steve Yzerman comes back to Detroit, and, you know, they had drafted really poorly before he got there. They had some first-round picks that didn't work out. But their last couple drafts under Yzerman have worked out, so they've got a couple of really young, impressive players. Most notably is Lucas Raymond, who we'll see tonight, who's a rookie player, having a great season. They've got some other young pieces. Dylan Larkin's their captain. He's a good young player. So they're kind of a team on the rise. And so it'll be an interesting matchup. You'd love to see a healthy Seattle lineup going against them. We won't see that tonight. So it's going to be a game where Seattle's going to have to grind this one out. It may be ugly. You know, you just want to make sure you're playing defensively well and just try to chip in a goal here or there and get out of town with some points.
Andy, before we talk to you next, they will have, you know, we just talked about Edmonton, and they will also have played Pittsburgh. And where is Pittsburgh at? Because obviously when you know of the Penguins, you think of Sidney Crosby immediately.
Yes, they have a couple of great players. Sidney Crosby, obviously a Hall of Famer. Evgeny Malkin, also a Hall of Famer. They're a team that, you know, that's kind of in this crossroads of we have these aging stars, you know, because they are getting older. And while they're not as productive as they were in their 20s, they're still pretty good players. You know, so their team that I think has to decide, are we contenders or is it time to maybe think of a rebuild? They've kind of been, you know, towing that line here the last couple of years. So they're still a quality team, but they maybe aren't or don't have the firepower that like Edmonton will have a few nights before.
Now, we already know who some of the big playmakers have been through this first part of the season. Are you kind of looking at anyone else on this team who's been a little quiet to start the year, thinking he could have a bit of a breakout here?
Well, hopefully they get Jonas Donskoy going. You know, he has been contributing with assists and had a great game in Florida the other night. You know, he set up a couple goals, one on the power play where he drew the penalty killers to him and then flipped the pass to a wide-open guy for a goal. He's a streaky goal scorer, and he's, you know, he doesn't have any goals yet. But he's a guy last year who scored 17 for Colorado in a shortened season. So he was on pace to be a 20-goal scorer, and I think that's what he's kind of been throughout his career. And he just hasn't had the luck yet of finding a goal. So hopefully that he just gets one, and maybe that, you know, kind of gets the monkey off his back, and then they start coming in bunches. So right. he especially tonight with Everly and Schwartzout, they could really use a big game from Donskoy.
He is 710 Kraken insider. Andy I joins us every week. And make sure you're reading his coverage on 710sports.com. Thanks so much, Andy. We'll talk to you next week.
My pleasure. Have a good one.
See ya.
Thanks, Andy.
All right, again, that game against the Red Wings is today. Game against Edmonton coming up December 3rd. That is this Friday. Coming up next, I told you guys that Mariners fans would be very excited about something Robbie Ray said to Mike Salk this morning. He talked about his main recruiter. The player who recruited him the hardest made the sales pitch when it came to the Mariners. Mariners fans, I think, should be really excited to hear who it is. That's next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
The newest Seattle Mariner, Robbie Ray, that feels really good to say, was on with Mike Salk this morning to talk about signing with the Mariners, what went into his decision. Now, I said that he had a big recruiter and it should make Mariners fans very excited. Before I get to that, let me tell you what else he had to say. This tease only continues. First, he said it feels really good to be a Seattle Mariner.
Yeah, it feels really good. You know, this whole process, everybody in the front office, Jerry, Justin, speaking with Scott, ownership, they've all been great in this whole process and, you know, helping us get to know the Mariners and learn a bit more about the city. And it's just been a really fun, a really exciting process.
Now, as far as one of the deciding factors, it was certainly the culture. Being able to watch that from the outside, it certainly looked enticing.
I think it was just the culture, the winning culture. Seeing the guys last year, what they were able to put on the field, seeing the young guys come into their own and kind of realizing who they are as baseball players and as men. And, you know, just seeing it from across the field and, you know, hearing post-game press conferences about, you know, the way that things were going in that clubhouse. And, man, it was just something that you look at and you're like, man, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Now he shares an agent with Kyle Lewis, and Marco Gonzalez and Tom Murphy have already reached out to him. But what really got him, as you know, to be swayed here also was a conversation with a former teammate, Mitch Haniger. The two played together at Arizona. He said that Mitch really sold him on how special it was here in Seattle.
Yeah, we talked about it, and man, he's passionate. You know, he was in it. He was in it last year, and he felt the energy from the fans that last week of the season and that last homestand, you know, having 45,000 fans. He felt that energy, and he could feel that push that the fans were getting behind him. And he said it was infectious, and he wanted more of it. And, you know, to hear that from a guy that has gone through the rebuild process and coming out the other end of it, saying that he felt that way about the city and about the team, you know, it just makes the decision a lot more easier, too.
Here's why it should excite fans, Jake. We know that Mitch Haniger wrote that column for the Players Tribune talking about, hey, watch out, rest of MLB. Basically, the Mariners are coming after you, and not just, you know, to win the division, not just to get a winning record and get to the postseason, to win it all. They're really trying to get this done. And now he's following it up behind the scenes. This wasn't Mitch Haniger coming out and saying, hey, sign here. Hey, listen to what I've done. This is another player, a big name free agent who said, mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, you want to know one of the recruiting tools? Another reason I came here is, oh, this guy that I used to play with, Mitch Haniger, said it was really special. You've seen Mitch Haniger putting in the work behind the scenes. And there's something about knowing that, like, he really believes in what he's saying that should make fans excited.
Yes. I mean, there's so much to unpack there, but, you know, going off of the Haniger comment, Stacey, I mean, it's huge because one of the things that also has been talked about and rumored, and quite frankly, when we had Ryan Divish on with us yesterday, Divish didn't even sound like, you know, it was likely that Haniger would sign with the team. I don't know if you convince Robbie Ray to come here for one season. If you know that you're only going to be here for one season, why would you tell somebody that you love the culture here, that you love the fan base, you love the city, you love all the success, if you're planning on skipping town the very next year and you're not at least intrigued and excited and willing to listen to that conversation, at least at the end of the year, to sign back with the Mariners, if not sign an extension, you know, here, you know, as the season progresses, right? So that to me is something that's very positive because before this, I know that he came out with that, but to me, or he came out with the Players Tribune article, but to me, that was more of a, okay, I'm gonna do a little nudge here with the front office and put them on notice, right? It's not that Jerry DePoto and Scott Service and John Stanton and everybody else didn't needed this nudge from Mitch Haniger, but I do very much believe that it was the player just being speaking very honest in a public way and saying, look, this is going to matter to me in terms of where I see my future with the Mariners and how aggressive they are, and to hear Haniger's passion about what's going on and for that to have a legit impact on Robbie Ray and how he views where the team is currently at enough to want to be a part of it. I mean, that's massive. That is very, very exciting.
Yeah, I think too, like, I think back to a conversation that we were having about the, at the time, anonymous players, and we assumed Kyle Seager was one of them. You know, what if Marco, what if Mitch are one of them? The anonymous players that spoke with Ryan Divish about frustrations with the front office, frustrations with Jerry DePoto. This was after the Kendall Graveman trade. So a lot of that might have been tied to the trade itself of Kendall Graveman, but it seemed like there was plenty of lingering frustration in the sentiment that was about Jerry DePoto that extended beyond the trade. And I think that we talked about at the time a fear that the relationship that DePoto may or may not have with older veterans on the team could affect free agency. And I think what you've seen is that there's
right. That's a great
that it
point.
Has not. Whether or not we don't know what DePoto's relationship is with Mitch Haniger. I mean, I think that it was clear that it was strained between Kyle Seager. But if I'm looking at Mitch Haniger as being another older vet here that, you know, you're certainly worried, like, what if he hasn't had the best experience here in Seattle? What's he going to say? Well, this is, like, evidence number one, case in point number one, as to someone who might have every reason to doubt this team, who instead believes that they can get something done.
Yeah, and that's very, very important. And that is also one of the reasons why when you hear about Robbie Ray talk about the culture, and that's one of the reasons why he was really intrigued and excited about the Mariners. I mean, I'm sorry, what? We're talking about culture? Did he say winning culture? Like,
I'll have to check the tape.
Hold on. Can we check that one more time? Because I'm pretty sure Robbie Ray said winning culture.
I think it was just the you know, the culture, the winning culture, seeing the guys last year.
Okay, so he did say winning culture.
He certainly did.
Okay, they won 90 games last year, but they've been in the midst of a rebuild, and how can they have a winning culture? Well, it's because Scott Service has been laying the foundation and the groundwork throughout the entire process. And when you have a team that is on the rise and that they, you know, make a statement in 2021 and you felt the togetherness of that group, it stands out. And again, it's the reason why I will forever, forever love the 2021 Mariners. Not because it was the underdogs that rose to the top and had an opportunity to make the playoffs, but because this is the team that legitimately laid the foundation for what is to come. And that group and what they were able to do and the mindset and the culture and the togetherness that they had throughout that season just is very evident to other players around Major League Baseball. And it was evident to Robbie Ray that there was something special brewing here in Seattle and that there is something brewing here and that it is something that he wants to be a part of because he knows that winning baseball is right around the corner here for the Mariners, and he's going to be a big factor in all that.
Now, the most important question that was asked of Robbie Ray, arguably was not about Machaniker. It was not about what got him here. It wasn't about Seattle's culture. It wasn't about even how it felt to win a Cy Young.
Really?
No. It was on his pants.
Yeah, so, you know, again, I talked about getting into the gym and putting on the weight and getting stronger and getting bigger. And, you know, my pant size didn't change. And so I just kept the same pant size. And in spring training last year, guys were just giving me a hard time about it. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to do it because you guys hate it. And then it became my thing. It became, you know, going into the season, it kind of became a part of me and a part of my game. And, you know, it ended up working out.
Respect. I so respect that this is part of his brand.
Robbie Ray's decision to go with his pant size is similar to Stacey when she does Liza Minnelli voice and how much we hate it. And she's like, know what? I'm going to do it anyway.
That's right.
Doing it.
That's right. And
that's
then
who I am now. I'm not changing.
And I just love that it's like, he's like, look, now it's a signature. Now it's part of my signature and I'm riding
it's
with
who
it.
Who I am.
I wonder, is it something where he feels like he has to be that guy at all times? Where now everything has to be tight, like his jeans.
No, I think it's like a
he's
character.
Now he's got to have extra tight jeans.
No,
and he's walking around with extra tight shorts.
Well, I hope not.
Or do you think at home? So. You think at home when he gets away from everybody,
he's like, let me relax and put on some sweats.
He's got the loosest,
JNCO
jeans. Jeans. You can possibly imagine he's in just
Kirkland
sweats.
Signature cargo jeans.
Don't you dare disrespect Kirkland signature.
Just taking
it's
a
Rick
deep breath.
Specialty.
I don't think so.
I would love for that to be the case.
I think this is like a character that he has.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm here for it.
All right. Switching gears here. I think that there are two big arguments du jour for how the Seahawks got to where they are. One of them has to do with draft picks. We'll get to that later. The other has to do with a very particular trade, this one for Jamal Adams. Hear me out, though. The Jamal Adams trade, it may not have been the right move for Seattle in hindsight. It's not the reason they're where they are. That's next.